The General Electric Theater. Tonight starring Dorothy McGuire. This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the General Electric Theater, presented by the makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances, General Electric. Tonight we bring you Miss Dorothy McGuire in Fletcher Markle's original radio story, Sometime Every Summertime. Tonight, the General Electric Company is privileged to present a story that's conceded to be among the finest ever produced on radio. And to star in this unusual drama, we have with us one of Hollywood's brightest and most versatile actresses. It's with great pride that we bring you a transcription of Fletcher Markle's much-honored classic of radio, Sometime Every Summertime, starring Miss Dorothy McGuire. But first, that refrigerator you bought as a bride may have been just the right size for a twosome, but families have a way of growing, and when they do, they can quickly outgrow a refrigerator. But General Electric has a new refrigerator that your family won't outgrow in a hurry. It's a new 11-cubic-foot beauty. This big GE refrigerator has GE's new Roto-Cold. Cold air flows uniformly to every part of the refrigerator, top and bottom, so all food is safely refrigerated. You get completely automatic defrosting, too. No buttons to push, no clocks to set, no pans to empty. And the shelves are sliding and adjustable. You can switch them around to accommodate a huge turkey or a king-size watermelon. See your GE dealer and find out how you can own the new 11-cubic-foot GE refrigerator for only about $4.36 a week after small down payment. Now, the first act of Sometime Every Summertime, starring Miss Dorothy McGuire.
It was one of those unimportant affairs that you associate with a certain time of your life, a certain season, and a certain place. Unimportant, but the kind of thing that sticks in your memory. And whenever something turns up to remind you of that time and that season and that place, you remember it. There were three of us that summer, Charlie Hayes and myself and Clem Waldron. And all we wanted was 2 weeks of a good time. There were a lot of ordinary summer houses sloping up from a pocket harbor at the southern end of the island. A lot of ordinary summer noises and smells, and a lot of unbelievably wonderful summer girls wearing very little more than their suntans. The three of us worked in an advertising agency, and it was a pretty soft routine, but empty and unsatisfactory enough to make it good to get away. That summer was Waldron's first vacation since joining the agency, and we asked him along because we had lunched and partied together a few times in town, and he was a nice guy and didn't know many people in Vancouver.
I like the cottage we had last year better.
Why, this place is all right.
Last year's had screens on the screen door.
We can fix that. One at the back's the only bad one.
Where are we from the place you had last year?
Not far. Around the other side of the bluffs.
Oh, Helen, you did!
Ah, female merriment. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, next door, isn't it?
No, the one ahead, to the left, on the edge of the bluffs. There's three of them. They're alone.
How neat. And when did you get this encyclopedic information, Waldron?
Before supper, when I went out for cigarettes.
And you didn't think it would make worthwhile conversation at supper?
Oh, I forgot about it.
Oh, are they that bad?
I've only seen one of them. She was hanging out washing. We talked for a minute.
Domestic tableau. What'd she look like?
How old was she?
Oh, you wolves. Quite plain, as a matter of fact. But not unattractive. 25 or 6, I'd say.
That's more like it. How long have they been here?
It came yesterday.
Shall we take our chances?
We will. Where's the flashlight? Oh, here it is.
Go ahead. I came up here to relax, Charlie.
You'll cooperate, though, won't you, Clem?
Oh, sure, Mac. I'll talk to one of them.
Well, now, let me see if I can get all the names straight. Fran, this is Clem Waldron and Mac McFreddy's Fran Howard.
Hello, you too.
And Helen, what's your last name again?
Rowley.
Rowley, that's it. Clem Waldron, Helen.
We met at supper time. Hello.
Hello. Washing all finished?
All right, Waldron. Let me get the formalities over with. And Mac McFedries, Helen Rowley.
Hello.
Call me Mac.
And where's the...
Mary, don't hide.
Oh, come on, Mary.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Mary Thomas. It is Thomas, isn't it?
Well, Mary's kind of shy. She likes to just nod her head.
Mary, Mac McFedries.
Hello, Mary.
And Clem Waldron.
Hello, Mary.
Let's sit down, shall we? Mac, any refreshments? Please say we all get along.
Mary was an Italian girl, slim and dark and quiet, very beautiful and very real. Waldron reacted to her like a hit on the head the moment she stepped out of the shadows into the lamplight. I won't say it was love at first sight, though Waldron always insisted it was exactly that. I think it was just a sharp awareness of a bachelor's loneliness and the sudden shock of finding unexpected beauty as a neighbor in the summer place like the island. Not much more. Mary and Helen were elevator operators in a Vancouver department store, and Fran, the third girl, was a waitress. Helen was only plain, according to Clem, and we got along fine. Fran and Charlie hit it off, too, getting a kick out of trying to talk each other's language, laughing a lot, and enjoying themselves without having very much in common. Waldron and Mary kept their own hours, had their own meals at the hotel or a box lunch at the beach or out in a rented boat, and the four of us were left to ourselves. We kidded Waldron about it every night, and Waldron said,
"I'm in love."
He said it often, but he said it as if he were trying to convince himself.
I'm in love. I love that girl.
It was embarrassing, even for Charlie and me, who knew him pretty well. And Helen and Fran told us that Mary didn't say anything much about it at night when the girls went to bed. Just told them that Waldron had said he was in love with her and gave them no indication whatsoever of her own feelings. All six of us seldom got together. And whenever we saw Waldron and Mary, at the beach or the dance, or in a boat or sitting out on the bluffs at night talking and smoking, it was like seeing a couple of strangers. Charlie and I always thought of Waldron's painful words.
I'm in love. I love that girl.
Mary stayed over an extra day, and the four of us went back together. But Charlie and I might just as well have been on another boat for all it mattered. I think Waldron took her out a few times in town, but we didn't hear much about it from him. He was transferred to another office of the agency about a month later, and we weren't really close enough friends to correspond. The whole business was pretty trivial, I guess. But I often remember it whenever I see a girl that looks like Mary. You know, that olive skin, that exotic thing about pretty girls of the Latin type. Or when I go to a place like the island for a holiday. Or just happen to think about people you meet in the summertime. It was one of those things.
Hello, Mary.
Clem was tall. Clem was very tall and thin. And he looked at me in a funny way when we were first introduced. Hello, Mary, he said. Only in a funny way, like he knew me before, was scared of me or something. It was at a summer camp I went to one year with Helen Rowley and Franny Howard. We took a cottage at the camp, the three of us, putting all our vacation money together to pay the rent and have enough for food for the 2 weeks and everything. Oh, it was a lovely cottage overlooking the bay at the camp. And the three boys were in another cottage just back of us. Clem, I mean, and his friends. And Clem talked to Helen one night while she was hanging washing. And then one of Clem's friends, I forget his name, came over later and talked to all of us and asked us to come and be sociable with our neighbors. And we all went. That was when I met Clem, when we all went over to their place and he spoke to me in that funny way. We talked on their porch for hours and hours that night. And Clem's friends were really funny, telling jokes and asking crazy questions. Clem was very nice to me and talked to me a lot more than he talked to Helen or Franny. We had a lovely time. And the next day, Clem took me to the beach and out to lunch at the hotel and then out in the boat he rented for the afternoon and then to the hotel again for supper. After that, we went for a long walk around the island. And we got cushions and a rug and went out and sat on the bluffs a little ways down below the front of our cottage and looked out at the bay and the boats that were always there. It was a lovely evening. And Clem was very nice. Clem was always very nice to me. I can remember almost everything he said.
How old are you, Mary?
Guess.
Oh, I could, but I think I'd be wrong.
Try.
Oh, I'm sure I'd be wrong.
Go on, guess.
22? 22, am I right?
Yes.
Oh, I spoiled it. Had to go and guess it correctly. Do you want me to think you were older?
No.
Younger?
No.
Well, then what?
I guess I just didn't want you to guess right, that's all. It's no fun when somebody guesses right.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going to say 23. I almost said 23.
Did you?
You're very, very beautiful, Mary.
Oh, you.
So brown, so... Where'd you get all that sun?
Well, that isn't just sun.
Oh, of course not, I forgot. What's the Thomas for?
Tomasino.
That's your real name, is it?
Thomas is my real name now. Tomasino was my grandfather's name at home.
Were you born here in town?
Oh, yes.
Why didn't I ever meet you before?
Oh, well, there's a lot of people in town, a lot of girls. I'll bet you know a lot of girls in town, Clem.
Not many. None at all like you.
Oh, you.
Yes?
Are you all right?
Yes.
Okay.
Helen and Franny always worrying.
How many in your family?
A lot.
How many?
Seven.
Well, that's not really many.
You should hear them.
Brothers, sisters?
Five brothers, one sister. So noisy.
Your sister?
All of them.
They tease you much?
George does. And Tina.
Is your sister older or younger than you?
Oh, younger. I'm the oldest one of all.
Are you?
Hmm.
I would have thought you were the youngest.
Me? Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, I would have thought that.
Oh, it's lovely out here. The moon. When I came out on the porch this morning, early, the moon was still out.
Was it?
Oh, how old are you, Clem? Please don't.
Mary.
You shouldn't do that.
Why not?
I don't know you. I don't know you hardly at all. You shouldn't do that.
Know me? Well, I'm 29 years old, born in Canada, went to school there. Now I work in advertising, 6 feet 2 inches tall, 155 pounds, unmarried, unattached, unhappy, and I think you're... Oh, kiss me again.
Clem, no.
Mary.
Yes. You're bad.
Everywhere today, you hear talk of rising food bills. But the easy and practical way for you to cut your food bills way down is with a new General Electric 11-cubic-foot food freezer. It stores 389 pounds of frozen food, enough food to last the average family several months. And think of the savings. You can buy food when prices are low during seasonal sales. Now, when you're ready to buy a freezer, you want to be sure it's dependable. And if it's a General Electric food freezer, it will be. Every GE freezer is built with the same sealed-in refrigerating mechanism that's kept more than 3,500,000 General Electric refrigerators in service 10 years or longer. Ask your GE dealer to tell you how you can own a General Electric food freezer for only about $4.67 a week after a small down payment. Now, with our star, Miss Dorothy McGuire, we bring you the second act of Sometime Every Summertime.
wasn't really bad, even though after a few days he started to look at me more and more in that funny way he looked at me when we were first introduced. I'd seen other boys look at me like that, and I never liked it. But when Clem looked at me that way, it seemed all right, because Clem was such a fine person. He told me he loved me one night and asked me if I loved him, and I couldn't tell him if I did or not because I didn't know. And when I told Helen and Franny that Clem said he loved me, they asked me how I felt, and I couldn't tell them either, one way or the other. I just didn't know. Summertime fools a girl about love, you know. And besides, I even had to remember to ask Clem how he spelled his last name. The second to last night at camp, we went down to the wharf and sat at the end and dropped matches in the water below us until very late.
Well, there must be a radio in one of the boats out there.
It's lovely.
Hey, why don't we dance?
Dance here?
Why not? Oh. Come on. Up you get.
Oh, Clem, the matches and your cigarettes.
Oh, never mind.
But the whole package went over. Have you got any more?
Doesn't matter. Come on.
Planks are rough.
Pick up your feet.
Oh, Clem, I can't.
Of course you can. Oh, sorry, darling. Don't you know that step?
No, I...
Look down. Watch my feet.
I don't know that one. It's hard to hear the music now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the wind.
Please, Clem. Let's stop. Let's just sit.
All right.
Give me your hand while I get down.
Watch yourself.
There. What are you doing?
Oh, your wonderful hair. Feels like... so soft.
Oh, you. It's just old hair.
No. Oh.
Be careful.
No, it isn't. I'm all right. Give me your hand. Beautiful hand.
Dirty. These planks.
Oh, a ring would look wonderful on that finger.
Clem, you shouldn't say that.
Say what?
You shouldn't say things about rings. You shouldn't say things like that unless you mean it.
I mean it.
No.
Yes, I do.
Clem, please.
Would you marry me if I asked you to?
Oh, no, Clem. You mustn't say that.
Why?
No. It doesn't seem right when...
When?
When that's not what you want. That's not what you want, Clem.
I want you.
Yes. That's not the same.
Mary.
No, Clem.
All right. Wish I had a cigarette.
Stayed over at the camp an extra day. I had an extra day owing from a day I worked at Christmas, and I went back to the city with Clem and his friends. Oh, it was a lovely trip. And Clem made me promise to let him take me out the next night. He had a car, but it was being fixed while he was on his holiday. He wanted to take me home in a taxi from the boat, but I didn't want him to. I didn't want him to come out before I could tell Mom and Papa about him. I told them when I got home, when they asked me about the summer camp and the kind of time I had. Mama was happy, but Papa was angry because he always said he had to look at a boy before I went out with him. So I was glad I didn't say anything, like Clem had said to me that he loved me or that he wanted to marry me. The next night, Clem came around for me about 8, and I wasn't ready, so he talked to Papa and George. I don't think they got along because when we went out, he acted as if he was mad about something. I had on my white suit. It was just clean, and we went dancing. But Clem said it was too crowded, and he was tired. So we left and went to a show. When he took me home, he said something about calling me, and we'd go dancing or something like that. But I didn't hear from him again. Helen saw one of Clem's friends on the street one day, and she said that Clem had been transferred to an office in some other town. I guess he was too busy when he left to call me. That was 4 or 5 years ago, but every year since, when I've gone to camp and met other boys, I think of Clem. Even last year, after I was married, when Frank and I had the same cottage as Helen and Franny and me that summer, I thought about him. I really think of him quite a lot. That funny way he looked at me when we were first introduced. Frank never looks at me that way.
Hello, Mary.
She was one of the most beautiful women I've ever known. She wasn't a woman, really. A girl. A wonderful gesture of nature. She was Italian, Canadian-born. We met at an island resort I went to one year with McFedries and Hayes when I was in the Vancouver office. I only knew her a little more than 2 weeks, but sometime every summer since then I've thought of her. In all honesty, I don't know how I felt about her. I think at first I was in love with her. As a matter of fact, I asked her to marry me. She refused, of course, and was very embarrassed with my asking. I must have sounded pretty hollow now that I think back on it. I felt something big and important inside me, and I made a mistake about it. I think it was simply a case of not being aware of that nice difference between love and desire. But she knew. She knew. Nevertheless, we had an exciting 2 weeks. Exciting for me, anyway. She was a thrilling kind of girl. A lot of women must have hated her for her loveliness. I think I hated her a little myself. She wasn't mine. When we went back to town, we took the late evening boat. The moonlight at sea helped to stretch out the last few hours of the holiday. Oh, it was more than a holiday to me, of course. It was another world, and I was afraid to leave it. She wanted to go home alone, refusing to let me take her out in a taxi. So I got her address and made arrangements to call for her the following night. It was an address in the far east side of the city. When I drove out of my car the next night, I had trouble finding it. It was a narrow two-story house between a confectionery and a metal workshop. It was still daylight, no lights on, and if a radio hadn't been going inside, you wouldn't have thought anybody lived there. I went loudly up the steps of the low porch to the door, trying to trample down with my feet the thoughts that were running through my head.
Hiya.
Oh, good evening.
Are you Mr. Waldron?
Yes.
I'm George. We saw your car pull off. She just yelled down she'd only be a minute. Come on in.
Oh, thank you.
And here will be okay.
Well, good evening. Hey, George, turn down that radio.
Yeah, sure, Papa.
Oh, are you Mr.?
Sit down, Mr. Waldron. Excuse the soaper dishes. Mama took the children to the movie theater early.
I've seen the picture. It's lousy.
Hey, shut up. Well, nice to see you, Mr. Waldron. I don't think it should be so long. Girls, you know.
Oh, of course, it's perfectly all right. Lots of time.
What business are you in, Mr. Waldron?
Business? Oh, I'm with an advertising agency here, Everett Fuller.
I'm in the grocery business myself. You happen to notice my store down in the next block.
Next door?
No. That's old Wazinski. I'm down at the next block.
No, I didn't notice it. No.
Well, what do you do in the advertising agency business, Mr. Waldron? Billboards and all like that?
Yes, all like that.
Mm-hmm. Business good?
Yes, pretty good, pretty good.
Well, we're doing good, too. Mm-hmm.
Hey, here she is. All got up to go places. Gee, don't she smell good?
This time she was wearing a white cotton suit that had been laundered too often and was too small for her. Her hair was done up in a sort of braid wound around her head, and she wasn't the same girl at all. We went dancing, and it wasn't any good. We didn't dance the same way. Then we went to a late movie, then coffee at a drive-in, then out to her house. None of it was the same. None of it was any good. I told her I'd phone her and drove back to my apartment the long way. I got word at the office that I was to be transferred a couple of days later, and I
didn't call her. I couldn't. It's very difficult for a man to get over realizing that he's a snob. Funny, it was so important. And yet I can't even remember her name.
Miss Dorothy McGuire will be back in just a moment. Set the dial, walk away, go have fun. The new General Electric automatic washer will get your wash spanking white and sparkling clean. You see, GE's new automatic washer puts every piece through three separate washing zones. And it doesn't just tumble the clothes in and out of the water the way many old-style tumbler-type washers do. GE's new automatic washer has activator washing action. And that means that clothes are flood-washed, flood-rinsed, submerged in water all the time. You see, with many old-fashioned tumbler-type washers, the dirty water drains through the clothes, redepositing soil on the freshly washed pieces. But General Electric spin drying spins the soiled water up and out. It can't go back through the clothes, so you're bound to get a whiter, brighter wash. Ask your GE dealer to tell you how you can own GE's new automatic washer for only about $3.90 a week after a small down payment. And now our star, Miss Dorothy McGuire.
First, may I say that I certainly agree with you, Ken, about General Electric appliances. Not a day goes by, but I'm grateful for all they contribute to the ease of everyday living.
Well, it'd be hard to find anyone who doesn't agree with you, Dorothy. But now that everyone's talking about how they spent the summer, I wonder if you'd tell me something about yours.
It was a busy one for me, Ken. As you know, my husband and I are co-producers at the La Jolla Playhouse in the absence of Greg Peck and Mel Ferrer. I must say the season's been most successful. We've had Olivia de Havilland, Jose Ferrer, Edna Best, Kurt Kasner, and many other stars.
I know you did, Dorothy. I attended several of the plays myself, and I've heard nothing but praise for all the productions. What are your picture plans, Dorothy?
I'm going to Rome to make a picture, Ken.
Rome? What a holiday.
Yes, it will be, Ken. It's a CinemaScope production for 20th Century Fox. 3 coins in a fountain.
Oh, wish I could get work like that. Well, Dorothy, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
It was a pleasure. Good night, everybody.
Electric Theater has brought you Sometime Every Summertime, starring Miss Dorothy McGuire. Featured in tonight's cast were John Stevenson as McFedries, Robert Bailey as Charlie Hayes, and Jack Moyles as Clem Waldron, with Sammy Hill, Gene Bates, Jeffrey Silver, and Jay Novello. Sometime Every Summertime was written by Fletcher Markle, with music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Ken Carpenter inviting you to be with us next week at this same time when General Electric, makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances, will bring you Mr. John Hodiak in John Hersey's memorable success, A Bell for Adano. Join us, won't you?
Last year, 190,000 forest fires damaged America. Make forest fire prevention your business. Be careful with matches, avoid building open fires, check your incinerator. Be sure it's in proper condition. Your care can help keep America green and golden. This is the CBS Radio Network.